This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
Welcome, everyone. Our guest today is Teresa Cito, who is the admin coordinator for the School of Marketing and the School of Media. If you haven't met Teresa, you most likely have been at one of her events because she really does a remarkable job organizing very complicated events that we run in FCAT. Teresa, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. You have been at Seneca for more than 10 years. Let's talk a little bit about what brought you to Seneca. You have a really interesting and varied background.
So I actually took off about 10 years and I stayed home to raise my kids. And then one day, a random call from a previous boss, and he asked me if I was interested in coming back to work. And my first answer was no. I need some time for myself after being with two little ones for a while. And then he said, why don't you just come in anyway and meet with the chair? And the chair that actually hired me is Marianne Mirando, who is currently the VPA of Seneca. But back then, she was the chair for the School of Marketing. I believe maybe 20 minutes into our interview, she asked me when I could start working. And here I am 10 and a half years later.
Well, we are really lucky that you decided to make that decision and come to Seneca. I really can't imagine FCAD without you. What is the key to all your events run so smoothly, like clockwork? What is the key to making these things happen the way they do?
I'm an extremely detail-oriented person. So I generally plan a lot earlier than is required. A lot of times I have a to-do list of everything that I need to get done. If it doesn't get done, it is moved to the next day. But I have a checklist and I ensure all of those are done. If I need to delegate to somebody else, I follow up with them to ensure that they have done their role to help me out.
Yeah, and I've been on the receiving end of some of those calls, making sure that I get done what I need to do. And really, really important, I think in FCAD, we have more events than almost any other faculty because of the nature of our programming. But that's not all you do. Can you describe some of the other duties that you have?
I would say my biggest role is to do all the contracts, like manage all the contracts, create them, answer any questions, onboard new faculty or even existing faculty. But that would be the bulk of my role, is all the contracts that I'm involved with. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the school-specific events. I'm also the point person for any college-wide events. For example, open house or orientation, those kind of things.
Yeah, fantastic. And we seem to be doing more and more of those types of events every year. So you've got a lot on your plate. One of the things I learned about you in the pre-interview is the fact that your parents left jobs and businesses in South Korea to come to Canada with you and build a better life for you and your siblings. My family, too. My parents left South Africa and came to Canada
I
was very young. So we have that in common. Mm-hmm. But they're your role models for a reason. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So they're very, and you know, as is the case for a lot of immigrant people or parents, they are extremely hardworking. So one of the things that our dad taught us was always about honesty, integrity. There's actually a funny story. So my dad used to own a corner store, and somebody had brought in a lotto ticket, and that was a winning ticket of $50,000. The person misread it, brought it in, and said, I've won $500. So of course, my dad being himself, he looks at it and says, it's not 500, it's 50,000. So of course, the customer was shocked, was grateful, came back after he had collected his winnings, and gave my dad $500 as a thank you.
Oh, that's such a great story. The other thing I learned about you in your pre-interview, and this is hard to believe. I found this very hard to believe. It said you were really shy.
Yes.
I have seen no evidence of that at Seneca, but that there was a move to Korea that actually helped bring you out of your shyness.
That's right. So growing up painfully shy, I still recall when I was in JK and we had play day, I had to hold my teacher's hand to do any of the relays. She would put me on her lap and I would play with her jewelry because I didn't want to speak to anybody. Kurt's laughing at me right now. So one of the things that I decided I was going to do, and of course, with all of that, being so shy, I was never a good public speaker. And people used to tell me that I looked like a completely different person when I was standing in front of a class. I decided I needed to face my fears, get in front of people, practice. And that's the side you see now where I'm not afraid to speak up. And I moved to South Korea, lived in Seoul, and I was initially hired to be an international consultant because their head office was in Singapore and it was for a software company. But I didn't love the, I guess, work culture. It's very different in Asia versus here in North America. So after 6 months, I decided that I was going to teach because I loved being in Korea. And I worked at two different universities teaching in conversational English as well as Language Institute.
You said the work culture is different in Asia than North America. How so?
It's still a very male-dominant society. And one of the things that really bothered me was the fact that they had something called office girls. So the office girls were like your gophers, right? They would get the coffee. They would do the photocopying. A lot of the menial tasks that maybe the men didn't want to do.
And that was given to women just solely because of gender.
They were hired for that role. And so they were okay doing that role. For myself, growing up in a family of three girls, we're all very strong-willed, very independent. So it was hard for me to just see that kind of role that existed in that culture. I was treated differently, apparently, because I grew up here. And I was a foreigner. Even though I didn't look like a foreigner, I sounded like a foreigner, and I grew up in a different culture.
Right. You speak Korean?
Yes, I do.
Right. That's I cannot imagine you in that environment, given, you know, what I've seen of you here, and it must have really, really grated on you.
Yes,
to
for
see
sure.
that. Your job is varied and very interesting. What are some of your favorite things about what you do here?
I would say the main thing is just interacting with different people. I don't deal with a ton of students, but the students that I do work with tend to be those who are part of an organizing team for one of the specific events. I love bringing people together. I do this in my personal life as well. If they need a party planned or a dinner planned, I am the go-to person. I'm a huge foodie as well, so I have a huge roster of different restaurants that I recommend to my friends.
And you have a lot of friends. I know that because your birthday celebrations last for months.
It does.
How important has that? Were you always that, like a bit of a social butterfly, or did that happen later in life?
A little bit later in life as well. Probably around high school, I would say, and then it sort of blossomed from there. My family makes fun of me and tells me that I pick up people and make friends at bus stops, which is actually a case. One of my very close friends, we became friends because all our kids took the school bus to school. And I just struck up a conversation and now we're very good friends. When we traveled out to the West Coast, we even stayed at their house.
Wow. And you met at a bus stop?
I met at a bus stop. I talked to people in elevators. I talked to them on streets. It's just very interesting to hear about different people's experiences and just people in general. Just meeting new people is fantastic.
And that hunger for meeting new people, that you've also, I've discovered you have a hunger for new experiences, particularly death-defying ones like skydiving. Can you tell
That's
me about
right.
that?
I am a bit of a thrill seeker. Jumping out of a plane was always on my bucket list for as long as I can remember. I don't know. There's one more thing that you probably don't know about me, but I always wanted to become a police officer. And again, it's the adrenaline, right? So we went skydiving the year before we were married. When we travel, it's never with a tour group. I plan my own itineraries, and we do things like rappelling down waterfalls, zip lining through the rainforest, whitewater rafting. I've only done skydiving once, but I've also done parasailing. I would like to do paragliding, though. Haven't done that one yet.
You know, the more I discover about you, the more I realize that a lot of our interests are very similar. I've also been skydiving.
I am
a bit of an adrenaline junkie. I still remember, this was 30 years ago. I remember jumping out of that perfectly good plane. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive. The plane's going well. Why do I have to jump out? But it was amazing. And I remember that vividly, every second of it.
It was an amazing experience. And then the peace and quiet in the sky, right? Yeah. So first it's like that initial jump, which is, I mean, so much adrenaline. And then you're floating, and it's the most peace that that I've ever felt. And I'm sure you felt the same as well.
I went twice. The first time it was quiet, like you described. The second time there was a bit of a storm.
Oh.
And I actually heard some lightning. And
they actually let you jump out
of
the plane?
Looking back, I probably have been jumping out. But yeah, there was a bit of a storm. And the sound and even the smell of the lightning, it was something I'd never experienced before, I guess, because I was up so high. It was quite something. But the first time, it was very peaceful. The second time was quite even more terrifying than the first time. But I'm the same way. I'll always go on a ride aiming to do, you know, whatever's the scariest ride, that's the one that I want to. And interestingly enough, I was a television reporter in my previous career.
Yes, for sure.
I had debilitating shyness for the entire time I grew up, and even in post-secondary, I took 4 years of an English degree, never said a word in class because I was so scared.
Are we twins that were separated at birth? What's going on here?
Maybe I'm not from South Africa. Maybe I'm from South Korea. Yeah, and I never, ever got past it, you know, for my entire degree. Then I realized I've got to bite the bullet and figure this out.
Wow.
Because I was going to be a television reporter.
Yes.
You have to be able to speak in public.
Absolutely.
So yeah. And, you know, how important has that been to you in terms of your self-confidence, being able to stand up and speak, being able to express yourself?
It was a big turning point for me, for sure. It forced me to stand up, get over the shyness, be more confident. And I am very confident, as you know as well. I'm not, I don't hesitate to speak my mind either, as you know. But I think it was one of the best things that I ever did in my life.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I went to Toastmasters. That was the key that unlocked that door for me. And it really did help. But I do notice that a lot of leaders, one of the characteristics they have in common is the ability to communicate well, to speak. So I would highly recommend Toastmasters to anyone who is struggling with that, because it certainly did help me. So you've been at Seneca for 10 and a half years, long time. What is it about Seneca that you like or love that makes you want to stay?
The people. Fantastic team. So when I started, it was just School of Marketing that I was supporting. And then I believe it was in 2020, when School of Media and School of Marketing merged. Now I'm also supporting a little bit of School of Creative Arts and Animation as well. But it's just all the people that I come across here. It's my work family.
So you've talked about being a thrill seeker, but your perfect day sounds quite relaxed. Can you talk about what a perfect day is for you?
I think it's because I'm almost always on the go. When I was at home raising the kids, I was told my life was busier than those who had a full-time job. And of course, you have a daughter as well, so you know how busy it is when you have kids. But I get so much energy from just doing things and being on the go and meeting people and things like that. But if you ask me what my perfect day would be, it would be, I think, a little more toned down. Wake up to a quiet house, have my coffee, to silence. We also have two dogs at home. And just being able to relax and, you know, enjoy the moment. But then it would involve spending time with those that I love. So yes, I might be taking a walk with my husband, or I might be playing board games with our kids. And it's great. Our kids love board games. So we have game nights relatively often, although my son is now in university. So when he comes back, we still have a game night. But that's the way I would like to spend it.
Your son is in university. He's a second degree black belt.
Yes.
Wow. And your daughter?
She's the creative one. She taught herself how to knit. She taught herself how to crochet. She's made stuffies. She's crocheted stuffies. She also is an amazing baker. Our son likes to cook and he cooks well. She bakes. So I've got the full meal right there from like beginning to end. Just get the kids involved. And they also take turns making dinners for us. When Nicholas started cooking, we had him cook dinner for the whole family every Wednesday. This was back in grade 6, and this went on for a little while.
Wow.
Yeah, and he just loved it.
Wow. So he's a great cook.
He is very good. We had a lot of people used to tell him to go on MasterChef, like Canada or something. But I think he likes cooking for the family is what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. So, Teresa, one of the highlights of my career at Seneca thus far has been when we hosted OCMC.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, we won. Our team won.
Yay.
But, I mean, I saw a glimpse of everything that went into hosting that event, which was really, it broke a lot of ground in terms of things that had never been tried before.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
So when we hosted in 2022, it was actually the first time after, I believe it was 2006. So it'd been many years. But what we ended up doing was we added another case event. And this one, students who were not in the diploma program could participate in this. So we had marketing grad cert students participate. We also changed the format for Quiz Bowl, which is the event where four students compete in somewhat of a game show-like event. And we changed the format, so it was all done electronically. They had to use their phones or their laptops, and there would be a countdown to that. Anyway, it was well-received by the provincial committee, and this is the one that's going to be going forward. So we're really happy about that. And the faculty who worked on this whole planning committee, fantastic group of people, very easy to work with. And the great thing was we had some marketing professors and we also had media professors get involved.
I don't think people realize it was basically a year of planning.
Year and a half
to put that together. Can you describe some of the things you had to think about and organize?
Oh, wow. Okay. I could spend a whole day just on that. But very top line, it's like a wedding. You have to plan and book the venue far in advance. That's why it was about a year and a half. And obviously, most of the big planning was done within the last final year leading up to the event. But there were a lot of big top line comparisons we had to do. And then we had to go ahead and book the space. We did a lot of site visits, made sure that it would be exactly what we needed for the event. And we were going to be hosting approximately 400 people, faculty, students, industry professionals, including judges that would be coming to this event. Everything from rooms that we had to book, the food that had to be provided to all the attendees, gifts as well. You know about that, Kurt, because you helped me pack some, including uniforms, which that also happens every year, lanyards, like every little thing, photographers, videographers, the schedule, which is huge. What else? I don't know. There's a whole list of them. That's what I can think of off the top of my head at the moment.
It was really eye-opening for me to see all of the different things and details you had to keep track of to make sure this went off smoothly. We are here with Teresa Sito, who is the admin coordinator for the School of Marketing and the School of Media. Your favorite movie is
Sound of Music of all time. I don't know why, but I love that movie. It's such a feel-good movie, and I love all the singing. I love Julie Andrews, and the story is so happy. I watch it every year during the holidays.
I do.
So my husband went and bought the original, like one of the box sets for me, so I don't have to wait for it to come on TV. I can just pop it in and watch it.
Whatever you want.
Yes.
And are any of the songs from The Sound of Music on your Spotify list, or is it a little different?
No, it's a little different. I think my children would be rolling their eyes if they heard it.
So you mentioned British New Wave.
Yes.
Has been one of your go-to genres.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Was it always like that for you? Where did you start getting into that music?
Probably high school-ish. Am I dating myself? Probably. But U2, New Order, Depeche Mode, Pet Shop Boys, like all of those, love them.
Teresa, is there anything else you want to add or anything you want to ask me?
So, two things. I also want to mention how much I love, absolutely love traveling. Is that similar with you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, high five.
what's the appeal and what are some of the countries you've been to?
Oh, I could probably show you my list. As you know, I keep lists. When I lived in Korea, I used that as a home base, and I traveled around Asia. So I've been to China, walked the Great Wall, Hong Kong, Japan, Thailand, Philippines, Guam even. And then every year I try to find a new exciting place. So with the family, we've been to Iceland, Peru, Machu Picchu, didn't do the hike, just took the bus up. My favorite has to be Iceland of all time. If you ask me where my favorite place was, we've been to London, Paris, Portugal, Ireland. I went last year, Costa Rica, Hawaii. Anyway, those are just some of the places.
Oh my God, that is a lot. What is it about Iceland that makes it top of the list for you?
The scenery is just amazing. And for one island, the landscape is so different. Even if you travel about half an hour, you'll see like icebergs, or you'll see valleys that are very green and all on the same landmass. It's just amazing. So, and then we went to like Blue Lagoon, and we went into the hot springs and things like that. But it's just so different, and it's just beautiful. But the people are very friendly. We did some horseback riding when we were there, and the horses are indigenous to Iceland. They do not import or export. So they're very, very pure. And we all love very outdoorsy activities. So tons of hiking and just exploring all the landscape in Iceland. Place you have to go. If you haven't been, you need to go.
I never have been. I've been to, my most recent trip was Portugal.
Okay.
Which I loved. Anything else in terms of highlights from your travel? Is there a particular type of food that really appealed to you?
No, just everything from anywhere, really.
What's your next destination?
Possibly Australia this summer.
Nice.
So another big one. Next year is already somewhat planned. It's going to be Korea and Japan.
Oh, wow. I'm envious, and I'd like to hear stories about when you get back and share some pictures as well.
So I do have a question for you. So you used to be a journalist, reporter. How did you get to the role that you're in now?
Well, a lot of it was blind luck, honestly.
Okay.
So I ended up teaching a course just because I was a full-time reporter, and I ended up teaching a course because one of my colleagues was teaching and had to drop out of the course. And he said, hey, can you jump in for me? We need someone. And I did. And I ended up liking it a lot. And then I taught part-time for a few years. And eventually I realized that I was looking forward to my teaching more than my actual, you know, journalism job.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I gradually moved full-time into teaching. I was a journalism prof for a long time. And my television experience really helped in that. And then my boss, this was at Mohawk College, my boss was retiring, and I applied for his job thinking, well, I'll try it. I probably won't like it. It's admin, you know. I ended up liking it a lot. And then that led to a dean position at Mohawk, and that led to position here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But I use my journalism skills every day. So
what
those
do you
are
mean?
Really helpful. So one, we talked about presenting.
Yes.
Right, about the benefits of being able to communicate.
Yes.
Those are skills as a television reporter that I really try to hone and try to develop.
Okay.
Right? And also putting myself in the audience's shoes whenever I'm presenting anything.
Okay.
Is this going to bore them? Is this too much? Is this too esoteric? Do they know what that acronym is? That type of thinking I know has been very helpful to me, in addition to being able to look at a complicated situation and trying to find a way to explain it in simple terms.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I had an editor tell me once, if you're covering a complicated story and you don't know how to tell that story in simple language anyone can understand, then you don't understand the story.
Oh, okay.
And it's true.
That makes sense.
If you can't break it down in a simple way, then you need some work to do to make sure you understand it. So
right.
That's what I mean.
Wow, okay. So you know your audience really well.
I try to. I try to think about who's in the room and who and what is my... And when I'm presenting, what am I trying to accomplish?
Right.
Right? Toastmasters teaches that
as well. Yes,
right?
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure having you here. And I promised not to bring up some of the more embarrassing stories that I'm aware of. And I think I kept my promise. Maybe we'll save that for round two in a year or two. Thank you so much. That is Teresa Cito, admin coordinator for the School of Marketing and the School of Media.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design, produced by Seneca's Radio Broadcasting students.